So I pared my notes down to 3 pages instead of 16 pages. Are you happy about that? Right? Sometimes when a pastor gets writing or gets something on their mind, I was up at 6 this morning and I was reviewing the notes and I said, oh my goodness, there's 16 pages of notes. I said, we don't have enough time on Sunday night. I said, I'll have to make it 3-part or 4-part. And then the Lord just said, you know what, sit down and go over it again. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 35. And it's called On the Road to Emmaus. We're going to begin reading with verse 13. It says, now the day came, or now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with one another about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus came up alongside of them and began to walk alongside of them, but they were kept from recognizing who he was. He asked them, what are you discussing, or what are you talking about as you're walking along? And they stood with their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem, and you do not know all the things that have happened in these past days? What things? Jesus asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet. He was powerful in word and indeed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, on the third day, since it all took place, in addition, some women were amazed. They went to the tomb and early in the morning, but they did not find the body there. They came back and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels, or they saw angels, and who said he was alive. Then some of the companions went to the tomb, or the disciples, and they found it just as the women had said, but they did not find him there. He said to them, how foolish are you, and how slow of heart to believe in all the prophets and what they have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer these things and to enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what he had said and what was said about him in the scriptures. As they approached the village of Emmaus to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going to walk a little bit further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearing evening. The day is almost over. So he went with them to stay with them. When he was sitting at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized who he was. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the disciples assembled together and they told them of what had happened. So I want to take a look. I have some pictures I want this is what the road of Emmaus looks like now. You know, when you think of the road of Emmaus, you think of a big road, maybe walking down a double road. But this is what archaeologists think where Emmaus is. It's one of the roads they would walk along on the way there. It took 7 miles to get there. How long do you think it takes to walk 7 miles?
For me, about 3 weeks.
A couple hours.
They say at a brisk walk it would take 3 hours, which I don't know what a brisk walk is. It's probably like running, but when you're talking, you ever go out and you walk on a trail and you're walking along and you're talking and before you know it, you're like, wow. You know, you've walked how many miles? And you know, that's what I believe Jesus was doing with them. He had 3 hours to talk to them. I have 45 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, to talk to you, but Jesus had 3 hours to talk to them. And that's what we're going to look at tonight, the scripture. You know, as we read the scripture, we can see that there are two journeys in the scripture taking place in the story. One journey is a literal journey. You're traveling, where they're walking. They're going from one destination to another. You know, like for me, I'm learning my way around Klamath Falls. I haven't got lost yet, but I've been in circles. Which I've realized, Klamath Falls, you can do that. There's tricks to cut through the parking lot, tricks to cut through this way and that way. As long as I know where Shasta Way is and Klamath, Washburn Way. As long as I know where they are in 6th Street, I know how to get the main street, although I haven't been over that way yet, but tomorrow we're going that way, so it's an adventure driving. But these two people were on an adventure. They were literally traveling from one destination to another, but they were also on a spiritual journey. When we read the scripture, we don't really catch that. You know, when you look at it, you'll see what I'm talking about. The story starts out with two people traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Like I said, the distance from Jerusalem to Emmaus is 7 miles. Coming from my side of the world, where I've been for 7.5 years, it's about 11 kilometers. So if you use the metrics, it would be 11 kilometers. I've never figured that out. All the years I've been there, I still want to do miles. I always say, Emma, how many miles is it? You know, thank God in the car it's got kilometers on there, I would be speeding, you know. But think about that. But it says a person walking at a steady stride would make the journey in 3 hours. Now we know they were discussing, they were talking among themselves. You know, a lot of times when you're out hiking and walking with someone, you find a subject and you start talking about it. And that subject goes from one thing to another. And we see here in the scriptures that they're going to go from one subject to another. We're told that Jesus came up alongside them. They were walking and discussing about the events that happened in Jerusalem, but Jesus comes up alongside them. Now, if I was walking with someone else and somebody just came up alongside me, I'd be scared to death because I'd be saying, you know, am I getting robbed or what's happening here? But he came up very subtle, and I have my, there's my digital painting of Jesus coming up on the two individuals on the road to Emmaus. Now, it's interesting because he came up alongside them and then he started to talk to them. Now, if a stranger came up alongside you walking on a trail, would you automatically talk to them? Probably not. You know, I don't know many people here. I'd be kind of, but you know, my wife says, I never know a stranger. Wherever I'm at, I always talk to somebody.
Yes.
I'll know your name, how old you are, if you have kids, and if you're from here, you know? Because they always say to me, you're not from around here. I said, what gives it away? They say, the way you talk, you're not from around here. So, you know, and I'm so used to showing my ID for everything in Mauritius. So the problem is here, I show my ID and the people just look at me like, What are you doing? And I said, well, where I come from, we have to show an ID to buy something. We literally have to show our identity card to buy anything. So if I went to Walmart, I would have to show my ID, but we don't have Walmarts, but but anyway, think about that. You would have to show an ID, and then they'd punch in your numbers. But anyway, the interesting thing about it is Jesus asked them a question. He said, what are you talking about as you're walking along? I'd like to know what people are talking about so I know how to join in the conversation. So if it's a stranger asking that question, I'd tell them, well, we're talking about this or whatever we're talking about. I'd try to make a connection with somebody. But you know, the men stopped and their faces, they looked down or downcast, the scripture tells us. I look at it in a modern sense, they were sad because of the events that had transpired in Jerusalem. We know the name of one of the individuals that was on the road to Emmaus. We know his name, Cleopas, but we don't know the name of the other person. Many, many people I've read commentaries and looking, and you know, nobody knows who that other person was. It was walking with him. They don't know. I read one where they think it was his wife, Cleopas' wife. I've heard other things. It was somebody else. But they really don't know. The scripture does not say who the second person is. And we don't know why that name is there and the other is not. But there's a reason for that. It's a reminder for us today that this person was one that spoke back to Jesus, mainly. We don't know the name of the person. But Jesus once again asked another question. He asked him once again, "What are you talking about?" And Cleopas was quick to give an answer. He said, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem that does not know what took place?" Have you ever been somewhere to an event somewhere and someone asks you what's going on, what's happening? These two individuals were in Jerusalem. They knew what happened, but they didn't know this person that walked up alongside them. And when he asked that question, why are they sad or what, you know, why are they looking down? But Jesus asked them what things had taken place in Jerusalem. And they responded that they were talking about Jesus of Nazareth. Now, someone said, well, why didn't they recognize who he was? Because God didn't want them to know who he was at that time. He would reveal himself to them in the end. But at that particular time, they were in sadness. They had a lot on their mind. And they weren't really paying attention. But both of them shared about Jesus of Nazareth. They shared he was a prophet. They said he spoke powerful words. He'd done great deeds. He performed miracles before God and all the people. But then they went on to say the chief priests and the rulers had Jesus sentenced to death and he would die on a cross. He would be crucified. They, along with many people, thought that Jesus might be the one that would redeem. They thought he was the Messiah. But when he died on a cross, they thought it was all done and over with. They, alike with many other people, they misunderstood some of the things that took place, some of the events. How could an innocent man be beaten and crucified for doing no wrong? We think of it today, we say, well, we'd look at it more objective. But if we were there, we would probably be on one side or the other. But the story shifts, the events shift on the third day. They tell of the women who went to the tomb as we were reading. They went to the tomb, and the angels told them that he's not there, he is risen. And we're told of the disciples that went to the tomb. So we know he wasn't there. We have them going there. After hearing all this, we can see that Cleopas and his companion, they had doubts about the resurrection. You know, some people say the resurrection never happened. Even today they talk about that, saying it never happened. They had doubts. Did it really take place? You have the women talking about that the body's not there, the disciples talking about it, and now these two are debating and talking with Jesus that they don't realize who he is about the same thing. But Jesus was quick to give them a response. He said, "How foolish, slow to heart to believe all that was spoken by the prophets." He also reminded them that Jesus would suffer these things and he would enter into glory. Jesus, through his ministry, often quoted the Old Testament. He reaffirmed the Old Testament. He reaffirmed a lot of what the prophets were saying about him. Now soon these individuals were approaching the village of Emmaus, but we are told it appeared that Jesus was continuing to walk on. Why would he do that? Why would he continue to appear to walk on? It's a reminder for us that Jesus had some things to do, but the two men on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion, urged him to stay because night was coming. The evening was fast approaching. So what did Jesus do? He went with them. Next we see Jesus sitting at the table. So we see them on the road. We see him sitting at the table. And he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened. They knew who he was. They realized what was happening. And then Jesus disappeared. We think about that, it's like the end of the story, but it's not the end of the story. Because he did disappear, but he would appear again to many other people. He would appear after this story to the disciples. Cleopas and his companion began to reflect over the last 3 hours of walking and talking with Jesus. Now they knew who he was, and all that he was saying to them was now making sense. Immediately they got up. And they were returning to Jerusalem. They wanted to go back and they wanted to testify to the disciples. They wanted to let them know that they had been with Jesus and he indeed was alive. It was not just a rumor. They told the disciples that their eyes were open when Jesus broke the bread. They testified that they had fellowship with him, with the risen Savior. Just like the two in this story, we are on a journey today. We're on a journey searching. We're on a journey that can take us one way or the other. We, like those two men on the road to Emmaus, can know the risen Savior. We too can join others on their journey. Many other people, those that are Christians, have accepted the Lord. We can bring someone else along the journey with us, because everybody is not on the same page as we are. Sometimes we need to come alongside and grab a hold of somebody's hand and bring them along the journey with us. We can be good listeners as we share with people's doubts, with people's pain, with people's problems. Doesn't mean we have to inherit their problems, but we can come alongside them and pray for them. We're called to share the good news, as Steve said today. We need to share the good news, the message of hope. There's hope found in the resurrection. We have hope that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Are we walking with Jesus today when we're facing problems, uncertainties? Are we walking with him? I talked to my friend in Kentucky this week that lost her husband a few weeks ago. And you know, every day she's going through trials because her husband did everything. And now she don't know how to do some things. And she's like, Doug, pray for me because I need wisdom of God to be able to do some things that I don't know how to do. She said these next 3 to 4 weeks are going to be very tough. Because she has to go through a lot of things now. And it's going to be tough on her. But she's a Christian and she's trusting God. She's on a journey of getting through a time of grief. But God will see her through. Are we walking today alone? Has someone come alongside of us and grab our hand and say, hey, I'm going to pray for your sister or brother. I'm going to pray for your need. You know, it's easy for us to speak it. But it's much better to pray right there, to talk to the person right there, to listen. So are we walking alone? Are we lost? Do we have no sense of direction? Today can be the day that our eyes too can be opened like those gentlemen or those individuals on the road to Emmaus. They can be open to the risen Savior. He's not in a tomb. He's alive. He can do miracles. Jessica, he can do miracles. I'm praying for a miracle. Many, many people are praying around the world for the little one. Yes, and for both of you. You know, I know what it's like to go through when Noah was being born and to go through that uncertainty because we didn't know. He was little and when they said he was going to be born early and we went through all kind of things. But you know, I thank God that people were there on the journey with me. So we're in a journey today. Are we in the journey to from one destination to another? Or are we on a journey with Jesus today? Think about it. The road to Emmaus only affirmed who Jesus was. They were two witnesses. They went back and told the disciples. And the disciples were still like, yeah, right, you know, he's sure he's alive. And what happened in the next part of the verse is we see that Jesus appeared before the 11. Their mind was just, what just happened? These men were right. They were telling the truth. These men, I believe that these individuals that Jesus walked with on the road to Emmaus, they had no more doubts. They knew who he was. Their life was forever changed. We don't hear about them anymore. I think there's a little verse in Mark, I can't remember the exact verse, but it only mentions about the two individuals, but it doesn't mention the name Cleopas. But you know, we think about that. We are in a journey today, walking with God. We don't know where each one of us are, but we can come alongside someone that needs to pray. We can pray for them. We can come alongside somebody and help them out when they need help. You know, it's a journey. You know, I heard a pastor say once, it's a journey with Jesus. And you know, it's a journey that's going to continue on long after we leave this world. We'll be in the presence of our Heavenly Father. So as we're going to partake of communion, I want to remind us of, where are you on the journey? Are you walking with the Lord or are you walking alone? There are many, many people in the world walking alone. They're lonely. Sometimes we need to just listen to someone. You know, as a pastor, one of the hardest things for pastors to do is to listen. We can hear people, but we always want to try to give some kind of encouragement or something. But you know, sometimes we just have to listen and let people talk. You know, Jesus listened to these individuals on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus pointed them in the right direction. He told them who he was. He revealed himself. And that's the same for you and I today. Sometimes we need to share. Sometimes we need to listen. So I want to close with prayer and ask you again, are we walking with Jesus today? Are we walking alone? Shall we pray? Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of the road to Emmaus. Lord, it's a story that reminds us of us, even today. Lord, they had doubts. They didn't believe the resurrection happened. But Lord, you revealed to them who you were and that you had resurrected and that you were alive. Lord, we believe you changed their life forever and you changed the course of their lives. And Lord, you changed the course of the disciples' lives because they had their doubts. They were wondering if someone had stolen the body. But Lord, in reality, you arose. You are alive and well. In 2024, you're alive and well. And Lord, that's what our world needs to hear. Our world needs to know that you are alive. Lord, as we just celebrated Easter and we're reminded of what took place. But Lord, you're not there anymore. And Lord, you're our intercessory in heaven. So Lord, we thank you that you walk with us each and every day. As we get up in the morning, we start our day out with you. Lord, no matter what the day holds, we know that you're there with us. So Lord, just be with those that don't know you as their personal Savior, that today can be that day, that their journey can be one walking with you, day after day after day. And Lord, one day we'll be in heaven with you. And we'll be in your presence. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
As we come to the Lord's Supper tonight, it is our custom to receive the emblems of the